Well, we got to welcome our first guest here on today's program. We've been chatting with the fine folks at Vogelzang the last couple of weeks or so. Michelle Pawlowski, did I say that correctly, Michelle?
Yes, you did.
All right, very good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're a Chicago, Chicagoland native, right?
Yes, I am. Grew up on the north suburbs, north side of Chicago in Northbrook. Went to Glenbrook North High School, Woo! Proud graduate.
GBN?
GBN, yes.
Did you do speech team by any chance?
I did not, no. Okay,
right. I always ask because I went to Downers Grove South and we had a big rivalry with GBN. Ooh. But anyways, that's a layer we don't need to open up today about my personal life. Okay, so you went to GBN. Where'd you go to college?
I went to Marquette in Wisconsin and then came back down to Chicago for law school, went to DePaul University down here.
Did you know you always wanted to be a lawyer?
I didn't know I always wanted to be a lawyer, but I started working for a criminal defense attorney while I went to school at Marquette.
Oh, really?
And really got interested in the law through that way.
A criminal defense attorney?
Yes. It was very interesting work. I mean, he did murder trials. He had a lot of various interesting cases. I knew that I didn't want to be a criminal defense attorney through him and through that work, but it did get me interested in the law.
Well, I imagine crossing off some of those things off the list is probably helpful because law is such a ambiguous thing. There's so many different avenues. So to be able to say, well, that's not something I want to do is a step forward, I guess.
Absolutely. It was a good start to know what I didn't want to do.
Was the defense side of things, though, working on the defense, did that propel you into what you do now in that you kind of look out for people that have been harmed, I guess you could say. You're on their side.
Definitely. I knew that I wanted to represent victims, you know, sort of what some of my friends called the quote-unquote good side, and knew that I wanted to get into plaintiff's law. So I sort of started out in nursing home negligence and medical malpractice on the plaintiff's side, hopped over to the defense side for a little bit in personal injury, and now I'm back at Vogelzang Law doing asbestos litigation for various plaintiffs.
That's great. And Vogelzang, you've been there for about a year or so, right?
Yes, coming up on my year anniversary.
Well, congratulations on that. Thank you. It seems like a great firm. A lot of people we've chatted with, of course, right up to the top. It's a great story how Vogelzang Law got started. And it must be rewarding.
It's extremely rewarding. I love all of my clients, my union guys, my military veterans. They're amazing. And working with some females who are in the trades and also who have been exposed to asbestos, I love representing them.
I mean, you guys really do focus on asbestos. I mean, that is what you guys do, right?
We do. That's 100%, almost 100% our focus. We really focus on people who have been exposed in the workplace. There's also something called take-home exposure, where workers take home asbestos from work and your family members can get exposed that
way. Like on your clothing and stuff?
On your clothing, yes. Asbestos, it's really hard to conceptualize how tiny asbestos is. On one grain of rice, there's approximately like 80,000 asbestos fibers. So it's just really pervasive, gets all over your clothes. You can take that home. And if you have a family member laundering your clothes, a lot of people don't realize that family member could get exposed as well.
Right, especially if it's work clothes and there's washing happening on a repetitive basis. You know, it's not just your twice a week or twice a month laundry. You're talking about everyday washing some of the clothes that these workers would come home in.
Exactly. On an everyday or weekly basis, you know, frequent laundering can cause exposure. You're shaking out those clothes, you're moving those clothes from the hamper into the laundry, and that causes those fibers to get into the air.
Asbestos feels like such a ancient's not the right word, but I feel like we know so much now. It's always surprised me when I've chatted, and you guys have had some great answers about why this is, but that there are still asbestos cases. This seems like a past generational problem, but that's not the case.
Right. That's not the case. And the interesting part about that is asbestos exposure causes latent diseases like mesothelioma and lung cancers to show up much later in life because you have this persistent exposure to asbestos causing scarring in the lungs, causing different tissues to be exposed then to these fibers and causing cancer. So the development of these diseases happens a lot later than people expect. It can take 30, 40, 50 years, sometimes longer, for these diseases to develop.
So even though we've done a better job, although probably not a perfect job, keeping people away from asbestos lately, if people worked in it in the 90s, 80s, 70s, you're still going to see people developing mesothelioma for perhaps decades.
Oh, absolutely. And what's becoming sort of at the forefront of asbestos litigation now is finding out that some talcum powders are mined within the same mines where asbestos naturally occurs, and it's impossible to separate those fibers out from the talcum powder. So a lot of cases are popping up from that type of exposure as well.
And do you represent people from the talcum powder side of things too?
We do, yes.
So people. At first it was people in the trades mostly who worked with asbestos in their job sites, and now you're seeing that these are clients potentially from talcum powder too.
Correct. We represent both. And you know, when we first start talking with a potential new client, we go through their whole work history, life history to find out where their potential exposures could have come from. Sometimes that even just brings closure to people to know they're not certain where it could have come from. And we go through those steps with them.
I do feel like this is a good point to mention that exposure is the key here. And if someone is listening and they use talcum powder every now and again, odds are you're going to be okay, but maybe change products moving forward, right? That's sort of the line that we chat about.
That would be our recommendation, and it's no cause for mass panic. I mean, mesothelioma is a very rare disease. I think there's about 3,000 cases diagnosed in the United States each year, so it's not going to be even a certainty. There's just a higher probability if you have developed mesothelioma and you happen to have used talcum powder in the past, that could be one of the ways you were exposed.
We like to avoid mass panic on WGN.
I would love to avoid that as well.
Wherever possible, especially for people like me that once I hear that, and if I had used talcum powder, I'd be Googling for days and freaking out. It's important to understand that. And I mean, you guys have found that link. And actually, we should just say it out. Mesothelioma, the only thing that causes it is asbestos that we know, right?
That's true. And, you know, starting to work at Vogel Zhang Law, I actually didn't know that before I started getting into this work. Mesothelioma being a cancer in the lining of the lung was pretty much all I knew. So I've learned a lot about asbestos exposure and how these diseases occur.
A lot of these folks, you know, develop this terrible disease. There's no cure as of now, right?
Correct. There's no cure.
So a lot of these cases, you are dealing with people who know their fate. I don't know how else to put this, but are seeking, you know, some justice in their lifetime, but also, I imagine, seeking justice for their family, for their estate, for the people that come after them too, right? Is that a big part of this?
Absolutely. And that's why we fight so hard and we get in the trenches right in there with our clients during depositions and fight for our clients in court, because we want to not only make them whole in the sense of monetarily, but also provide their family with money at the time, you know, where they may pass away in the future.
Yeah. To put a fine point on this too, mesothelioma is obviously one thing, but you mentioned lung cancer too. Obviously, lung cancer can be caused by many, many things. And if someone develops lung cancer that worked in the trades, that's something to explore too, whether perhaps there's a connection there.
Absolutely. Lung cancer, obviously the most well-known traditional cause is smoking. Mm-hmm. And if you take a smoker who has not been exposed to asbestos and a smoker who has been exposed to asbestos, the one that's been exposed to asbestos is, I think it's about 50 times more likely to develop lung cancer. So you still have a claim. Some clients say, oh, well, I smoked for so many years, I have no claim against asbestos
right.
exposure. But you do.
Right, because it is an accelerant almost as towards lung cancer. That's an important note. Okay, we're just getting started here. 312-981-7200 if you have any questions. VogelZhangLaw.com is, I imagine, the best place for people to go on the website. We've got Michelle Pawlowski here from Vogel Zhang. But before we get back into it on all things asbestos, let's try and get an answer to the question of the day. In the 1950s, these two agencies, whose acronyms are very common these days, they were created and signed into law just 26 days apart. Marty has been hanging on. Marty, what do you think?
NASA and FAA.
The Federal Aviation Authority and NASA. Yes, that is the answer to the question of the day. Any guesses why I made that question today, Marty?
Just because, probably because of the air and water.
Yes, because there are planes zooming by our building, and I thought, oh, that's a good one. I wonder what the laws are about the air. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Hey, Marty, thanks for listening. You having a good day?
Oh, yeah, having a great day.
Oh, good. Well, hang on. We're going to get you the prize, the desktop weather station from America Weathermakers Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. And my apologies to Eric, who also had the answer, but Marty got on the line first. Good little question of the day, Michelle. Did you happen to know that one off the top of your head?
I did not.
You could have just lied and said you did.
No, I should have lied and said that I did.
Yeah. But you're a lawyer. You're honorable.
Yeah, I got to stick to the truth. I did not know.
You've been at Vogelzang Law for about a year. If people are just joining us, you probably heard of Vogelzang, seen the advertisements, heard them here on the station. You guys deal with mesothelioma cases, lung cancer cases in relation to an asbestos exposure. Usually people in the trades or people that are at home washing the clothes of the tradesmen of that stuff being brought home, men and women. One thing you mentioned during the news break, a third issue that people can have having been exposed to asbestos is asbestosis. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, you are. Asbestosis. So we also represent clients who have been diagnosed with this disease. And the only way that this is formed is from asbestos exposure. The side effects that you experience from asbestosis are similar to many different things. So Okay. Don't go crazy on Google, anyone out there.
Okay.
But it is shortness of breath, sometimes crackling in the lungs, difficulty walking long distances, really having trouble breathing. But you want to remember that asbestosis forms from this asbestos exposure. So if you have these symptoms, know you've been exposed, you want to go into your physician and just talk with them about it.
Those symptoms seem like great reasons to go to the doctor no matter what.
Absolutely.
So no one panic, but if you're having shortness of breath, yes, that seems to be a medical visit worth doing. And is asbestosis fatal, or is that, or can be, or is it something people can live with as well? Because obviously mesothelioma is fatal.
Absolutely. There are varying degrees and levels of how bad asbestosis is and presents in different people. So it really depends. I can't put a time or length on on it for anyone because it's just a case-by-case basis.
I guess what I was asking there in the long way was, is cases around asbestosis, you're talking about damages, about like quality of life damages in the present. Obviously, mesothelioma presents those as well, but you're talking about, you know, likely losing someone because of mesothelioma. What are kids and family members going to get to help justify what happened to them? Asbestosis cases are probably different. It's quality of life. I can't pick up my grandkids. There's damages associated with all sorts of stuff, right?
Yes. And I mean, asbestosis can be fatal.
Okay.
But on the point that you just made, you know, getting outside with your grandkids, seeing your kids, getting around, it makes life much more difficult to live on a daily basis. And you want to enjoy, most often our clients want to enjoy their retirement and are unable to do so in the way that they would like because they're held back by this disease.
So if someone calls you and they've either been diagnosed with mesothelioma, asbestosis, or lung cancer, and I guess we should start there. That's the point in which someone calls you. You guys are not doctors trying to prognosis this. If you've had asbestosis, you don't call you guys Vogelzang saying, am I going to get mesothelioma? That's a doctor's question. So you're looking for people that have been diagnosed, right?
Correct. Because in order to bring a case for asbestos exposure, you need to have an injury. You can't just have knowledge that you were around asbestos and then decide you want to file a lawsuit. You would need to have an injury in addition in order to bring a claim.
So what's that conversation like when someone calls you? They've been diagnosed with something. How is it?
It's tough. It's tough, especially with members where they know that their time is limited.
Mm-hmm.
Having experienced cancer in my own family, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer 9 years ago. She is a breast cancer survivor.
Great.
And next year, she will be 10 years cancer-free. We're looking forward to celebrating that. So knowing how that feels as a daughter, knowing how that impacts an entire family and really ripples out to varying family members when a family member is diagnosed, I have great sympathy and empathy for those clients, but also am fired up and ready to fight for them.
Yeah, because obviously some cancers are naturally occurring, it's probably not the right word, but there wasn't necessarily an environmental trigger that you, based on workplace, stuff like that. Not that that certain cancers that don't have that cause aren't worth fighting. You know, I guess what you're saying is when there is a cause and that is, there's been negligence,
mm-hmm.
That's what gets you fired up, right? I mean, these Absolutely. Are people that should not have this disease.
No, and I mean, as we touched on before, the only known cause of mesothelioma is asbestos exposure. So when someone comes in, especially with mesothelioma, you know, we know where it came from and we know that they were at once exposed, and we want to fight against those large corporations who knew that this injury could be caused and go up against them.
You brought up an important thing you just said there. Companies that knew this injury could happen, there's cases all the time from companies that, you know, maybe they should have known. Of course, that's part of it, too, that if they should know or they had all the information there. We're not talking about, like, companies that really had no idea. There was no way to tell this product could have been wrong. I mean, there's evidence that these companies that still had workers work through this knew this was damaging, right?
Absolutely. And that's why we're able to make these claims. There's research going back to the 40s, the 30s, of people starting to realize that asbestos causes cancer. And doctors trying to get this information out there, companies knowing this information, and really not caring. They wanted to put their profits over these people, and they wanted to continue making money, so they didn't do any sort of abatement work or try to get this asbestos out of their workplace.
And this is really why you're able to sue, right?
Absolutely, yes.
It's that crux. You have to show that a company either knew or should have known, right?
Correct, yes. It's knew or should have known. So you can also prove that in a different way, that with all the education, materials, knowledge circulating out there that the government had distributed to various companies, that they should have known that it was dangerous and should have removed it from their workplaces.
Are most of the employees or former employees in the trades that you work with, do they work for like big companies, or do many of them work for maybe smaller companies doing things that expose them to asbestos, making maybe even companies that don't exist anymore, making that a hard case to litigate? Do you kind of see what I'm asking here?
I do see what you're asking. And we have clients that were exposed through one large corporation that they worked with throughout their entire career. We have clients who were insulators, pipe fitters, electricians who worked through a union and were sent all over the state. So we try and find out, okay, what products did you work with in that case? What products did you work with? And we have knowledge of many products that contained asbestos and that the workplace and work site should have known contained asbestos at the time.
So, but there's some investigation that has to go in on your guys' part, right?
Yes, there's a lot of investigation and interviewing and discussion that has to happen with the client before bringing a case so that we know what their asbestos exposure could have been.
Yeah, because you're talking about like different work sites, and you said mesothelioma could take 20, 30, 40, 50 years to show. I mean, are there records for some of this stuff? Are some of these cases really like putting a puzzle together?
Because asbestos litigation has been going on for so long, we do have a lot of these records. We've been going up against the same companies for a long time now. And so we have a lot of discovery, which are questions and answers that we request of the defendants to find out where this exposure could have come from.
That's interesting. So do most of the cases, I don't know how they're filed. Is it like John Doe, the plaintiff, the defendant is usually a company? Is it a company that made asbestos products? Is it sometimes both of those things? How does it actually look on paper?
Yeah, so it's interesting because a lot of people think of class actions or mass torts when they think of asbestos,
yeah,
which can be true. But really, class actions or mass torts, that is a large group of plaintiffs who have been injured by one defendant, one pharmaceutical company, one company that dumped toxic waste into the water and impacted a whole town. What we deal with is one plaintiff versus sometimes 100 or more defendants.
Whoa.
Yeah. And you're looking at premises, different premises that could have had asbestos at their work site, different sometimes employers, but really you're looking at products that contained asbestos as well.
Wow. So I think that's a good point to make, because we have other great lawyers that work for firms that do multi-district litigation, which is this very complicated but interesting field of law. You guys work for that individual, correct?
Correct. Yes. We work each client. It's an individualized case. So what clients don't realize at the beginning of the case a lot of times is we also need to take their deposition. And the first thing clients usually ask me when I tell them that is, oh, is this going to be in front of a judge? And it's not. It's way more, I don't know if I would say relaxed, but the forum is more relaxed. It's in an office setting or in a hotel room, and you have a court reporter there taking down everything you say. But you do have to give testimony and provide testimony. Under the penalty of perjury, that you were exposed to asbestos and where that could have been within the workplace.
And usually I imagine filmed as well, these depositions?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay. So that can be stressful, but I imagine you guys prepare the clients for that. We got to take a break, but let's chat a little bit more afterwards. I'm curious about that deposition part of things.
Okay.
We're chatting with Michelle Pawlowski. I don't know why I find your name a little difficult to say, Michelle. I'm sorry.
Pawlowski.
Pawlowski. I'm just going to delete this W and pretend it doesn't exist. From Vogel Zhang Law, if people are curious on reaching out, VogelZhangLaw.com, VogelZhang Law.com. More after this on Let's Get Legal. Michelle Pawlowski here from Vogel Zhang Law. And Michelle, you were just commenting, as I was, as how well the windows do blocking out the sound of the Air and Water Show, and then a plane room down by.
We got rattled.
We got a little rattled here at 303 Swacker. Our producer, our wonderful producer, Ben Anderson, who does David Hochberg's show, Home Sweet Home Chicago, he does so much aviation stuff that he can tell by the Zoom sound what plane that was.
That's incredible.
It is. I have no idea what that was. Maybe a Blue Angel. I think we're getting towards the end of the show. I don't know.
I know it was something big and loud. Okay. I don't know anything beyond that.
There you go. We were just kind of talking about, and if you're just joining us, Vogel Zhang Law does asbestos cases with mesothelioma, lung cancer, asbestosis. And what you'll have to do in one of the initial things, imagine a couple weeks into when the client joins your team, weeks or months in, is to give a deposition where they have to, you know, I don't want to say relaxed environment, but it's not in front of a judge, but it's a court recorder under perjury of law in front of a camera. Is it you guys asking the questions back and forth? How does that work?
Yes, I get to ask the client questions, and then the defense attorneys have the opportunity to ask the client some questions as well. But really, we're there to fight for you, to guide you through your deposition. We're always there with our clients. Or if they need to do it via Zoom, we have clients all over the country. If that's more comfortable for them, we're willing to do that too. Some people, especially diagnosed with lung cancer and mesothelioma, very understandably don't want anyone in their house. They don't want to get COVID or Fair. Any sort of illness that could make them more sick on top of the chemo treatments that they're doing. So we walk our clients through what's going to occur during their deposition and are alongside them every step of the way.
I know that companies deserve representation too, and defense lawyers have jobs and they have to do it too. I would hope, and maybe you'll correct me if I'm wrong, that while their job is maybe to poke holes in their arguments, that they're doing it in a respectful way with someone who's obviously going through something.
99.9% okay. of the time, yes. And I mean, we have many military veterans who are our clients. Are you really going to beat up on a military
No.
veteran? I would hope not. So most of the defense attorneys are, vast majority are respectful, are kind, are appreciative of the time that our clients give and thank them for their service. So we have good relationships with our defense attorneys. You know, we want to settle with them and
right.
do the best for our case. So you want to keep a good relationship with all attorneys that you work
Absolutely.
With.
Absolutely. And I just want to ask that so people, again, I just don't want there to be any barriers to someone to calling you guys if they're afraid, oh, I'm going to be questioned by another side. Yes, you will. And that's their job to do that. But if it's done in a respectful way, I think people can get behind those sort of things. You mentioned you guys would love to settle, or an option is settling. But I imagine you guys are prepared to go to court if need be.
Always. We're always ready and prepared to go forward with the jury trial at the end of a case. The goal, I think, for any attorney in personal injury is settling before trial. Sometimes that's not the best option for your client. It really depends on a case-by-case basis, but that's something that you would be discussing with your attorney at the beginning of the case. Does this look like it could be a potential trial case? Is this one that we're going to try and push settlement on? So that's something that's a case-by-case basis.
I know you've only been with Vogel Zhang for less than a year. You're coming up on your one-year anniversary, right?
I am.
Any memorable cases so far that stick out to you in your time?
Well, I love my union guys, all of my military veterans, but what has really stuck out to me lately are some of my female plaintiffs, some of my female clients. It's just so wonderful to see women at the center of their families and also working hard their entire career and hearing their life stories. I see some of my mom in them, you know, some of my grandma in them, some of me in them being a mom myself. And it's really inspiring the hard work that they've put in their lives, raising their families and going to work every day. And getting to connect with them, that's really been memorable for me so far.
Are many of these women cases women in the trades or women that were, you know, as we talked about, the bring home exposures or mix of both?
Majority are take-home exposures, just because it is in those times more right. rare to have women in the trades. But we do have some females who have been out there in the steelworkers union, who have been out there pipe fitting, insulating, and we love representing them as well.
Absolutely. VogelZangLaw.com is the website. The phone number, which you can find at VogelZang Law, is 312-466-1669. 312-466-1669. Michelle, it was good to meet you. I hope we get to chat again soon.
Great meeting you, too. Thanks so much for having me here.
Enjoy the rest of the planes, okay?
Thank you.
All right, let's take a break. We've got news coming up.